In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The origin of the beautiful novena that we offered to our Blessed Mother these past 9 days is to be found, as you recall, in the spiritual warfare opposing the evil forces of communism and the Sons of Light. The words used for the description of this novena were as strong and powerful as were the prayers of the many Catholics united in their fight against these errors. These words referred to, quote, the extreme gravity of present events. And if the Church and the Institute of Christ the King in particular continue to pray the novena with much pomp and solemnity, it is because the threat of communism and the extreme gravity of the present events continue still today to require from us much prayers and sacrifices in order to touch the hearts of our Blessed Mother and in return to receive the favors of her Divine Son for the uprooting of error and division and the protection and defense of the rights of God and His Church in the world. What began as a good intention and idealistic situation for men in his relation with society and life together, turned to be a terrible annihilation of his rights and duties towards society itself. The protection of the common good, pushed to the extreme, has become an obstacle also to his own personal good. And because one excess tends to create the opposite excess, we have seen in more recent time the exact opposite, where also the individual good of a person becomes a serious and dangerous obstacle for the common good of society. So where then should we draw the line? How to keep the balance between, on the one hand, an excessive control by any authority, whether it be ecclesiastical or governmental, to the detriment of natural individual rights and private property, and on the other hand, the more and more common policy of laissez-faire, or this deliberate abstention from direction and interference with individual freedom of choice and action, leading to all the perverted behaviors we witness today. John the 23rd gives the following description of the phenomenon which hasn't changed today. The attempt to find a solution to this problem has given birth to a number of theories. Some of these were little more than ephemeral. Others have undergone and are still undergoing substantial change. Others, again, are proving themselves less and less attractive to modern men. Why is this? Continues the Pope. It is because these ideologies do not take account of the whole man, nor even of his most important part. They fail to take account of that deep-rooted sense of religion which exists in all men everywhere, and which nothing, neither violence nor cunning, can eradicate. The most fundamental modern error is that of imagining that man's natural sense of religion is nothing more than the outcome of feeling or fantasy. to be eradicated from his soul as an anachronism and an obstacle to human progress. So the consequences of this deformed vision of men always find their roots in idealism, materialism, socialism, and individualism. So first, for idealism, reality which surrounds us is the fruit of simply intellectual constructions, disconnected from the concrete, the tangible. Man then turns to himself alone and intends to find in the production of his own mind the solution to all the problems of human life. And this often leads to the worst forms of totalitarianism by controlling man's mind and depriving him from the reality really that surrounds him. And you see here the dangers, for instance, of artificial intelligence, where is added to his intelligence an artificial intelligence that slowly but in a powerful way ends up dictating the productions and constructions of his mind under the guise of progress and for the good of humanity. But again, disconnected from all tangible reality. Now, for materialism, there cannot be an absolute truth of any speculative or moral order. The only interesting thing is practical, concrete, utilitarian life. In other words, matter dominates the mind. And its consequences are found in excessive comfort, fear of any form of sacrifice or mortification, disdain for, of course, anything spiritual, like spiritual life, because immaterial, demanding, and too mysterious. For socialism now, man's personality or individuality as integral part of his very nature are sacrificed on the altar of equality. Socialism culminates in collectivism, where the individual is no longer understood as a part of the community, having the right to initiative only for the sole purpose of serving the community. And so, danger here of using men for the community, but to such an extent that then it means that as soon as man does not fit into the mold or is not useful for the purpose of society and, of course, its leaders, he then must be rejected and becomes an outcast. The examples in today's culture are numerous. If you take the gender ideology, abortion, euthanasia, or now the carbon footprint ideology, population control, and so on, all kind of ideologies that everyone must accept under the guise of equality at the risk of losing his right or even his identity as member of the community. Finally, for individualism, only the will and freedom of individuals count. And so with that, no moral or social constraint should slow them down. But we have touched this point a little bit earlier, and with its terrible consequences for economy, for instance, when individual initiative has every right with no principles whatsoever of social solidarity to oppose to it. And Pope Pius X now qualifies their actions and utopias as mere verbal and chimerical construction, deprived of any knowledge of men, of the reality of his fall, and of the reestablishment of God's justice and mercy in the person of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And later, one of his successors, Pope Pius XI, affirmed that socialism and communism, which is its most dangerous form, is simply irreconcilable with true Christianity. The first dramatic consequence of such perverted theories and ideologies is, as we know, the destruction of the family, because family is traditionally the essential stem cell of society. There cannot be true society without the family. They debase the natural union of men and women, wrote Pope Leo XIII, which is held sacred even among barbarous people. And its bond, by which the family is chiefly held together, they weaken or even deliver up to lust. And my dear friends, as modern men, we are all affected in a way or another by these pernicious errors. The poison has spread and entered into the very veins of the church. The monster has many heads and hides for some time, only to resurface more hideous and powerful. The phenomenon can be well described with this quote from Alexander Pope's, his essay on men, written in the 18th century. Vice is a monster of so frightful mien, as to be hated needs but to be seen. Yet seen too often, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. Professing a deformed vision of men, they deprived him from any transcendence, any connection with God, reducing him to strict temporal dimensions. But man is by very nature, his very nature is spiritual, religious, and bound to give an account for his actions. And man finds his most beautiful self-valorization when and only when he enters into that relationship with God, with his Creator. The antidote against these poisons is at hand and was summarized already centuries ago by the great St. Augustine when he exclaimed, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts can find no rest until they rest in you." So let us look for our Lord. Let us find him in our daily prayers, in the sacraments, maybe in our neighbor, made image of God. And let us lay him in the crib of our hearts, particularly as we approach the Christmas season. If we consistently have recourse to his grace, he will purify, enlighten, and fortify our hearts so the truth can be made brighter and brighter in us, and therefore darkness, the darkness of error, be dispelled. Mary, yes, Mary embodies to the highest degree possible and in the most perfect manner human dignity and the value of our nature in the eyes of God. Not as a mere product of many contingencies, simply for utilitarian purposes, not for selfish and individualistic advantage, but encompassing all aspects of our human nature, left except no stain of sin, with no equal here on the face of the earth, she become the model for creation. Not a mere ideal, but a mother, a queen, and a virgin. She's the perfect, the exact antithesis of all the errors mentioned above. Not only that, but she's also the remedy which will cure society and families from these diseases. And she is the safe refuge against every evil, refuge of the afflicted. And so with great confidence and joy, resound once again today the hymn of deliverance, victory, and peace. Come from Lebanon, come and you will be crowned. Arise quickly, arise my bride, arise my precious, my spotless one, arise. Come, because I languish in love. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.